as these things go, preaching on Easter Sunday is one of those high-pressure preaching dates for pastors everywhere. After all, everybody is in church on Easter Sunday. Some of us are here because our parents and grandparents asked us to come with them. Some of us are here because we have great memories of being in church on this day with lilies and flowered crosses and Alleluias, Alleluias. And some of us, let's face it, some of us are here for the pancakes. Yet I believe that all of us are here because on this day, we hear again the news that Christ is risen. And what that means for us and why it matters in our lives and in this day and time, well, that's what we work on the whole rest of the year. Today we heard two different gospel versions of the story of the resurrection. The first version that we heard as our worship began was from the first gospel that was written, Mark's gospel. It's the shortest gospel, and this is by far the strangest Easter story in the gospels. After all, when the women find out that Jesus isn't in the tomb, they leave, they're scared to death, and they don't say anything. Now, is that any way to run a resurrection? But what draws me in that Markan version of the Easter story is the conversation of the women as they're walking to the tomb. They're headed there with a specific task in mind, to anoint Jesus' body with burial spices. He had been buried so quickly so as not to desecrate the Sabbath, but this hadn't happened. He hadn't been anointed. And so you can almost imagine the conversation as they go. Did you bring all of the spices? Yes, I've got them all. Did you bring the burial cloths? Yes, I told you I would bring them and I brought them with me. And then, Mark says, they're walking along and the question that they ask one another, who will roll away the stone for us? Of all of the things that they needed to be worried about, this was the one thing that had already been taken care of. And Mark's gospel doesn't tell us how it had happened, but in fact the stone was rolled away and Jesus was no longer in the tomb. Resurrection had happened. Alleluia. Alleluia. I'm looking for bells. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon that Easter is one of these big days for preachers. We know that there will be a big crowd, and this text, this day, is a big deal. But the reason it's such a big deal is because this is the deal breaker for Christians. After all, historical sources other than the Bible have documented Jesus' life and Jesus' death on the cross. We know that historically those things actually happened. But it is the resurrection that is the big key thing. It is the resurrection that makes the task of the preacher and your task as the hearers so critically important this day. Which brings us back to this nagging question. Why does the resurrection matter to us in this day? Why does it matter to us in a time when we can call one another from across the world and see one another's faces and post on one another's walls? Why does it matter that Jesus is living? Well, the truth is we need the resurrection to make sense of the rest of our days. Because at least some of the rest of our days are filled with hard things, with challenges and disappointments, and from time to time, even with tragedy. And for every hard place and every disturbing moment, if we are willing to look hard enough and listen closely enough, there is resurrection. It may just be something that we glimpse for a moment or that crosses our path when we least expect it, but it's there. It's resurrection. Here in this place, we see it every day, not just on Easter. We see it in the excitement of immigrant parents who come into our doors to learn to speak English so that they can advocate for their school-aged children. We see it in the young daughter of the homeless mother who so gleefully chose the color of the scarf and mittens that she got to take from this place that were knitted for us by a fellow resurrection believer all the way across the country in North Carolina. We see resurrection in the faces of our elders and our young people who both share their wisdom with us. And in these days, in this community, there is a particular longing for resurrection. Because we have had a loss that has weighed heavily on us. And that loss weighs that way partly because it's very fresh and partly because Robbie was just so special. If you didn't know him, Robbie was a member here for the past 4 years. He lived in our neighborhood on the streets and occasionally in someone's garage. Everybody in this neighborhood knew Robbie. And so the day after we received news of his death, I walked to the places that he frequented, to the bus stop and the library, to the community center and the 7-Eleven to share the news of his death. And do you know that every time I shared that news, I was met with a story about Robbie. Each story was a glimpse, a hint of resurrection. There were people that he had touched and people that he made laugh and smile. And so in the midst of death, there was resurrection, life. And this is the unique thing about the resurrection. Because the resurrection that brings us here today was a one-time, God-given miracle that happened in the garden with an empty tomb and a stone that was rolled away. But the resurrections that we experience day to day happen in smaller ways. Easter is not always a gigantic bell-ringing alleluia, but it is today. Today we relish those alleluias. Today the resurrection calls for a trumpet and an organ that is pulling out all the stops. But tomorrow, and in the ordinary days that will come before we gather for this day again, Easter will make itself known in resurrection that happens in bits and pieces, and in ways that are surprising because of the very ordinary ways they come into our ordinary lives. Because Jesus and what he stood for aren't just for days filled with alleluia. Jesus is for the hard stuff. For the stuff that can best be described with words that I cannot repeat from the pulpit, partly because my parents are here this morning. On the easy days, the resurrection is beautiful and wonderful and inspiring. It lets us get dressed up with it and admire it in the mirror and sing about it and smell it because the resurrection most certainly smells like lilies. But on the hard days, the resurrection is what we cling to. Even if a part of what makes our days hard are our doubts, the resurrection is the hope that peace is possible in the face of violence, that love will conquer hate, that justice will win out over oppression, and that death does not have the final word. Resurrection shows up in ways that surprise us, in ways that sometimes mean we mistake it for something else, like good luck or karma or our turn. Like Mary Magdalene in John's Gospel, the resurrection shows up and we think it's the gardener. But it's not. It's Jesus walking beside us in whatever we're walking through. It's Jesus saying to us, "Why are you weeping? Why are you despairing? Why are you mourning? Why are you feeling so shame-filled? Why are you giving up? And then we know. When he calls us by name, this resurrected one, we know why it matters that Jesus rose from the dead. It matters because of the truest thing out there, that love wins. Because this is what Jesus stood for, what he spent his life teaching. This is what Jesus died for, and this is who Jesus was. Jesus was love walking on the earth. Jesus said all that mattered in life was that we love God and that we love each other and that we love ourselves. He called them the greatest commandments. And so it is love that lives this day. It is love that rose from the tomb with Jesus. It is love that walked with Mary in the garden. And it is love that walks with us. And it is that love that will sustain us, love that was crucified but is now risen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Thanks be to God. Amen.